Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you are listening to The Grove Podcast. Today, we are continuing our Making the Grove series, where you get a behind-the-scenes look at how The Grove came to be and what goes into the brainstorming, the creating, the building, and the fostering of this gathering that seeks to serve the women of our city and beyond. The Grove is a monthly gathering for the women of Atlanta and is an outpouring of Passion City Church. It's led by Shelley Giglio and an amazing team of women. And today we get to hear from a few of them as we get a closer look into how we prayerfully prepare our hearts and our team for each Grove gathering. We have Susan Robinson and Carmen Coe, who are part of our Grove leadership team and lead the Grove prayer team as well. And we have Melody Malone from Passion Music, who has been part of our Passion City family since the beginning and helps lead and steward the worship for our Grove gatherings. Today, we talk about how vital prayer is to this team and to what happens on Monday nights at the Grove and beyond, and how we lean in and listen to God as we prepare. So let's jump in with Susan, Carmen, and Melody. Well, I'm here today with some beautiful, incredible, talented women who have really sown seeds of faith and hope into the Grove through prayer, through preparation. And I want you to meet them. We've got Melody Malone, woo-hoo, Susan Robinson, and Carmen Coe in the house, in the studio today.
Come on.
Talking about prayer at the Grove, talking about the way we prepare. So I want, real quick, I want y'all to go around, introduce yourself, tell us how you are part of the Grove. And we'll start with you, Melody.
Okay. Hi, guys. How's it going? Obviously, Jordan introduced me. My name is Melody, and I have the privilege of helping steward the worship aspects of the Grove, of helping plan who's kind of who you're seeing on stage in front of the camera, what those worship sets look like, that kind of thing. That's what I have the privilege of doing.
You might know Melody from Passion Music as well.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. She's part of the Passion City family, part of Passion Music, and we know that you've all been blessed by her incredible talent and heart. Susan Robinson, tell us who you are, what you do with the Grove.
Hey, I'm Susan, and I get to help carry the Grove prayer team along with Carmen here. And I also get to serve on the leadership team with Shelley and you guys.
Carmen.
I'm Carmen Coe. And like Susan said, we get to serve together on the prayer team and lead those women who are make up our prayer team and cover each night in prayer. And then, also serve on the leadership team.
I love it. So we are talking about prayer today. We're talking about how we prepare for the Grove, mm-hmm, specifically. Mm-hmm. And our leader, Shelley Giglio, who you've now heard from, even in this series, talk about the vision that God gave her. She is constantly reminding us of how vital it is to have our eyes on God and our hearts synced up with His. So we are all very well aware of how much we need to lean into Him as we prepare the Grove and as we help build it. So I want Susan and Carmen, I want y'all to help us understand the prayer team. And Susan, could you tell us what it is and how it came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys probably know that Passion Conference, everything Passion has done has always been founded on prayer. From That's the right. very first one day, there was an intercessors team.
Yeah.
There was a prayer team that was there that's been going the entire time. And now I get the chance to kind of serve on that and see how that works. And that was really part of the inspiration for what we wanted to do with the Grove.
Amazing.
When Shelley got the vision for wanting to do the Grove, we had no idea if anyone would even show up. We didn't know what it was going to look like. And I remember being in the park with my little ones. I can't believe I almost have one driving now. But they
incredible.
Were little. And I was with Emily Vogeltans, and our kids were playing, and we were talking about it, and we were like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know we need to pray.
Yes.
And really, I believe in what I like to call the everyday intercessor. I think sometimes the phrase intercessor can be intimidating to people. You may think that it's somebody, you know, and it can be somebody that's hidden away and spending hours a day. But I also believe that we can be intercessors driving around in our car, sitting in the carpool line, that really it's us going to God on behalf of another person.
Yes.
And really all we need is a submitted heart and the Holy Spirit.
That's
and right. He can work through us. The scriptures tell us that even the Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know how to pray. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be intimidated. So there in the park, we just were like, let's gather up a couple of women that we know love the Lord and love to pray, and we'll just start with that. So there was four or five of us on that first grove, and amazing. We were literally behind like a cardboard partition over to this side of the auditorium, and we just got together beforehand, and we just said, God, we trust you.
Yeah.
And we know that you have plans that are greater than we can ever imagine. And again, I think that's another hallmark for passion from the beginning are really big prayers.
Yeah,
that's right.
To not be afraid to pray for things that are bold and immeasurably more. I mean, that's the scripture we hold on to so much, that he's the God of immeasurably more. And we just said, this is yours. You have your way. We welcome you here. Go, Lord. Mm. And we also knew that we wanted a second part, that we wanted to intercede for what was going to happen that night, but we also wanted to intercede specifically with the women and let them know that they were seen and that they had a place to go. And they weren't alone. So we kind of were bookending the night. We were praying beforehand. And then at the end, we like to make an announcement that we have what we call our access space, where people can come and receive prayer if they want to just talk to somebody. And again, that's carried on and grown. And I know that Carmen's going to be able to share a little bit more about that. But that we just knew from the beginning, we wanted that to be a place where we weren't doing counseling.
Yeah.
We weren't sending people away with everything solved. We just wanted them to be seen. And we wanted to speak the name of Jesus over them.
So good.
Incredible. And then know that we could continue praying for them as they needed to. So we just really started with that. And we're really relying on Jesus as the mediator. Hebrews tells us that he now stands as the mediator between us and the Father, and that he gives us access to the Father. And we believe that through him, the Father hears our prayers.
Yes.
Oswald Chambers has this great quote where he says that prayer is just coming face to face with the Father through Jesus, right?
That's right.
And we just kind of show up and believe in that.
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing.
Love it.
You mentioned that you and your husband, Josh, help with the Passion Conference prayer team and have been doing that for many years.
Yeah.
I've gotten to be in the room with you guys as you lead those intercessors. Mm. And it really is so powerful. Mm. And it's you're going to war on behalf of these people in a lot of ways, as well as interceding for what Jesus is doing in the room. And it really is, it is beautiful, and we are so reliant on it. So we're so grateful for what you bring and what you do and how you lead. And Carmen, I do want to ask you to take us through what it looks like for the prayer team on any given Tuesday.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, Monday. The Grove is on Monday, folks.
Hey, you never know. We may end up on a Tuesday.
For now.
You never do know. Today is Tuesday, and maybe that's why I got that. But Carmen, take us through a Monday night with the prayer team.
Yeah, absolutely. We... well, before, you know, Shelley, we trust and know Shelley and Kara have prayed through every single aspect of the night. And our leadership team has gathered together to put our faces on the floor and ask God his divine direction and clarity on our theme and our, you know, just everything we've built into the environment for women to feel seen. And all of it's very intentional. And we're trusting Jesus to lead that. And so part of that is the speaker, which is never publicized because we, from the very beginning, it's been about Jesus. And we're always coming to meet with him, not a person or a, you know, anything publicized. So when that person is picked, we always try to, you know, Shelley has a connection with them and a direction with them, and they give us their scripture that they've based their night or their talk on that night. And so we send those scriptures to our prayer team, and we want to make sure they are praying those scriptures in agreement with the Lord over every single seat. And we show up at about 5 p.m. on a Monday night, and we pray over the doorpost. We pray over the oval in the what is our lobby. Everywhere we'll be interacting with women and you know, just inviting them in. We want to make sure they feel like there's been a place prepared for them.
Amazing.
So we're covering every seat, every aisle, the production, the stage, you know, everything we can think of. And then at 5:30, we all meet in Access Space. And together, just like with Shelley and Kara and the prayer in the leadership team, we find this uncanny, you know, very Holy Spirit connection between what God has, the Holy Spirit's been threading through all of our lives.
Yes.
And so everybody on that team feels a calling or a gifting in prayer. And so they have come already prayed up. We know that full well. And so they come in with a scripture or with a thought or a vision that the Lord has given them for mostly a burden for someone that's going to be in the audience. And so it's always so interesting and inspiring to see that thread woven through all of us and that our hearts have already been unified before we even got there. So it's really cool how the Lord works in that. And so we just pray together. Sometimes we'll invite you, Jordan, or someone to lead us. Sometimes we'll just play music on our iPhone. Sometimes we'll just pray. I mean, we change it up each month when we do it. However, the Lord is kind of leading us to pray that month. But we speak a moment about what's on our heart, and then we all pray for the women who are coming. And then inevitably, they'll open the doors at 6 p.m., and we can hear the women start filing in while we're praying for them. Yes, you hear the rumbles and the rush
it's
to get to their seat.
What we used to.
The really fast walking.
Yes.
The pants sweeping together.
It's always comical if you see it coming. I've recorded it a couple of times, but so we're praying for them as they're entering, as they're sitting in the seats that have been prayed over. And then we encourage our prayer team to disperse, make people feel welcome, go connect with someone, you know, and empower them really to say, you're released and empowered to go minister right now. It's not just the people on stage, but our prayer team we know is just in every row, and they're just scattered throughout, and they know what the Lord is bringing. They have a little insider information, if you will, and they are on the lookout for women who are hurting, for women who are alone, women who just hang in the back and might be their first time or might be a little timid. Or so they're empowered to go out and be the gospel, be the hands and feet of Jesus in that moment before everything starts. And so then the night happens, and well, we all meet in the green room to pray, which is always so powerful.
Tell us about that. What does that look like?
So Shelley usually invites the prayer team, our leadership team, anybody in on the stage who's has a part in that night, and some special guest. Inevitably, we'll have a church or somebody who's, you know, come to say, hey, how does this happen? And they want to see it for themselves. And so sometimes those people are there, and we're
there's
honored.
Probably like 60, 70 people in the room for those moments.
It can
crazy.
Be, I love it.
It can
I miss
be
it.
A roar. Yes, we miss it, but one day. and so we'll all just gather up. We'll put the people on stage kind of in the center, and we want to lay our hands on them, stretch out our hands towards them, and just pray in faith.
Yes.
Strong, bold prayers, like you said, that Jesus would move and just flow through them, give them the words to speak. And so we just want to always make sure they're blessed their sacrifice.
Yes.
And so we try to do that and pray towards the night, trusting Jesus for everything. And that, you know, acknowledging it's all for him, from him, and to him.
Yeah.
So his name's sake is our only goal, not for appearance. Even though we do everything we do with excellence, because we serve an excellent God, but none of it is show unto ourselves or fame. It's all for Jesus. So that's very evident in all the prayer circles and times that happen.
Yes.
So then after the event, evening happens, the gathering, sometimes it's not very rigid. It's just a formula, but sometimes they'll say it from stage, if you need prayer. Sometimes we'll offer prayer moments within the gathering.
Right.
However, the Spirit's led Shelley to build the night, but we are always available in Access Space. And so our team slips out, our prayer team slips out at about the last song. We tell them, we give them a heads up what the last song will be, and we all meet back in Access. And
Access,
as the women.
Access is our room that is set apart for this kind of thing. In our church, we do it on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, or any gathering. We have this room called Access Space that is set aside for people to come and receive prayer. And so that's where y'all are meeting. And then afterwards, offering this time again.
So the women kind of the prayer team just kind of line up tucked back in there, and one or two people are at the door. It's not real overwhelming because a lot of people are filtering through to go straight to their car. But people sometimes trickle, sometimes tons of women.
Sometimes the leadership team will receive a text.
We will
all hands on deck.
All hands on deck. Come to access.
Yes. Everybody is on standby.
Those are the best nights.
Yes. We'll send out a quick text if we're just overwhelmed with women. And so we'll just partner them up, say your name and introduce you to somebody and just step inside. And women just form little circles right there. And there's a tissue box and a Bible. And how can I
necessary
pray for you?
Things.
Really is how it starts. And they tell us, and we try to counsel our prayer warriors that, you know, you're not there to take on their burdens, their whole story, to exchange phone numbers. It's not about that. It's about giving them hope, pointing them to the word, pointing them to truth and hard rock foundational gospel truth they can take home, that they can hold on to, that they can say, this is a spiritual marker in my life. The Lord broke me of this tonight, and I have some truths to stand on and take away. And if there are some physical needs, if there are some felt needs that we can meet, we want to connect those. Most of the time, because the Grove is a gathering for women of Atlanta, we have lots of different churches and women who go and attend other churches, but we want to make sure they're in a home church.
Yes.
That they're being weekly, you know, committed to going to a church, to being fed the gospel and discipled. And so oftentimes we'll encourage them to get an accountability partner or start journaling prayers or a book of the Bible to read through or something like that. And if they don't have a Bible, we always have some there to provide them.
Yes.
So there's some tangible takeaways, but
resourcing
as
well.
Yes. It's just, how can I pray for you? And then praying Holy Spirit over them and the word and scripture.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Carmen, one of the things you hit on that I think is so important is the women that make up our prayer team are women that are trusted.
That's great.
And women that are doing the work in their daily life to be in the word and
so important
to know God's scripture, to be receiving mentoring, that they're a vital part of the church. And it is someone that we can trust that are doing those things.
Yes.
Because I think it's so important when someone's on the prayer team that they feel empowered and that they're released. Carmen mentioned that. And we speak it over our women so often that you're here because we trust you.
Yeah.
We're here because we know that God is working in you, that the word is in you, and that we trust you to move. Because these women need to know that they are free in any situation. If they see someone in the gathering and the Spirit speaking to them, saying, go talk to that person, go pray, they need to feel empowered to
move.
That's
great,
And they're being ambassadors.
And we trust them to be obedient.
Exactly. And so It's just crucial and important
Absolutely.
For them. And I think the second part too, you talked about everyone's bringing their own gift. And that's something that we see here at the Grove, and also that we get to see in the Intercessors Room at Passion Conference, that everyone has different gifts and everyone has different ways of interacting in the Spirit and the way that the Lord is moving in them, and that we don't squash that.
Yes.
You know, that we say there's room for that.
That's
and that
so
we know that Paul talked about how the gifts work together, that they amplify each other, and that they're never competing with each other, that there's not confusion, that there's harmony that happens.
Unity.
And that's the way that the gifts move. And because we're allowing people to operate in a trustworthy position, we don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had someone that has gone, you know, out of bounds or thing. And that's really amazing
when you
look at the different ages and backgrounds. I mean, we have women from all over the city in so many different ways. And it creates, I think, this dynamic that's so powerful.
It is powerful.
When you aren't trying to make everybody look like a carbon copy.
Right.
When you're saying, Lord, how are you moving in Jordan? How are you moving in Carmen? How are you moving in Mel? Do that here.
Yes.
Like, let it work together. And I just want to encourage everybody to let that happen.
Yes.
Don't feel, yes, we can set some guidelines and say, these are the things that we believe. You know, one thing we always say we believe is that we're going to focus most of our prayer time on Jesus.
That's great.
Not on Satan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
You know, we're not going to move in that direction of always rebuking and casting out, that we're going to focus on Jesus is this, God is doing this.
So good.
And that in that light, the darkness is cast out.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't even really have to give it the focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Carmen, you mentioned that I've gotten to come and join you guys some to help just lead a few songs. And as y'all are preparing the prayer team on some Monday nights, and it really is, just to what you're saying, Susan, about the different women that are part of this team, the different backgrounds, the different ages, that has blessed me so much to be able to stand in the room, to look at these incredible women of faith, and then to get to hear some of their prayers as we're preparing and as we're praying over the night, and to hear and experience the freedom that is offered in that room and the freedom which you guys lead them, how you lead them and how you allow them to be free in their gifts and be free in their prayers and their faith. And it really is a beautiful thing to witness, and it's so vital to what we're doing. And I love hearing a little bit about access space at the end. And Susan, I want you to take us to maybe a specific Grove night where we were overwhelmed in a good way by the people that were coming, and take us to some of those times, Carmen, you too, where you remember what was happening at in the gathering and then the response of the women afterward.
Yeah, totally. I remember the night that, I think it was the first time that Hannah Brencher spoke.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes. That, I mean, she was so vulnerable talking about mental health and her journey there. And it really broke open in the women in the room a heart to say, I have this too. I've dealt with this too. And it was so beautiful because Hannah even joined us in Access
was
praying for people afterwards. And so we anticipated that that was going to be the case. And we had a lot of people on standby, but we had, I mean, my goodness, maybe 90 women that came that night for prayer. And it was so beautiful because our touch team, which are the people that are directing people where to sit and guiding people in different areas, jumped in. Our leadership team jumped in. I remember even like seeing Maya Moore come by, and I grabbed her. I was like, can you come pray? Mel, you came and prayed. Yeah. I mean, our worship team was in there. Yeah. And it was such a holy sight to go in and see women just on their knees, women crying, women laughing, women embracing.
The room was full. Yeah.
So full. I mean, just bursting at the seams. And then seeing, you know, our prayer team members bringing someone forward, hugging them, releasing them, and then the next person going.
Incredible.
And each person getting to pray with three, four people. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people that met the Lord that night, too.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
And I think so many times when we are able to bring things into the light and get rid of that shame, the Spirit can rush back into that place and we can remember who we are in the Lord. And we have a wall called the Jesus is Life wall, and we have light bulbs there in the access room where if someone becomes our sister that night and meets the Lord, that they get to go and put a light bulb in on the wall, and we all just surround them and cheer
scream.
And cry and hug. And it's such a beautiful moment. And that night, I think we're overwhelmed with the number of people that were there screwing light bulbs into the wall. And, you know, it's a moment that we don't rush. If somebody needs 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes with you, that's okay.
That's right.
There's even been nights like that where all the lights are down, we've done breaking down, and I'll look in the room and I'll see somebody on their knees with someone still, and they'll kind of give me the wave like, we're good. We're going to stay here. We need to pray a little bit longer. And that's okay. That's what I love about the Grove, is that we make space for that. We're not rushing through those moments. That woman is the most important thing for us in that season.
Melody, I want to pivot to you, and you and I have another perspective, vantage point as worship leaders at the Grove. And many people have been touched and received your gift as a worship leader and as a songwriter and as getting to sit under your leadership. But I don't think as many people understand what all you put into those moments.
Yeah.
And you are a woman of deep faith,
yes,
deep belief, and you take the preparation process very seriously. and I say that with so much respect. Mm. And I want you to take us through that process as you come to a Grove gathering and you are given the role of worship leader for the evening. What does your process look like?
Yeah. First of all, I think I've been the beneficiary of all of their prayer.
Yes.
Like, amen. So many nights and so many times. It's the same thing where God has put something on my heart and then I find out that's exactly what they were praying for. And I'm like, my mind is blown. I'm like, the Holy Spirit is so incredible. He works that way. Yes. Like, it's crazy. But we do, I think we do take preparation at the Grove seriously.
Yes.
And the reason is because we know when we're prepared and when we plan, then we can pivot in the moment for whatever, wherever the Holy Spirit's leading.
That's right.
And you know, that works out a lot of times and hopefully we're prepared as we can be. But
yes.
I think, I've realized that it's important to remember that a leader's preparation often begins long before a specific task is assigned.
That's so good.
I think you have to look and see, like, there's all of these daily rhythms that the Lord invites us into. Those are often the things that He uses to help us lead and to help us shepherd His people.
That's it.
You know, I think most importantly, as a leader, it's about finding the time and the space to come into the presence of God, to come under His word. It's this coming in and this going out. Psalm, I think, what is it? 121, somewhere it says, the Lord will watch over your coming and your going.
Yes.
And I just finished this book by Robert Ferguson, who is a pastor at Hillsong.
Yes.
And he uses this great illustration and he says, an audience with the King is necessary for activity in His kingdom.
Wow.
And I've just sat in that for a while. Amazing. Because I'm like, okay, that's exactly, it's a new, fresh perspective of exactly what we've known and how we like to prepare for the Grove. So we come in and all of these things we talk about, it's under this banner of knowing we come to the King and it's at the King, in the presence of the King, that we receive authority to then go out and to move on His behalf, to work on His behalf, to work for His glory.
Yes.
And so I have three P's because,
amazing,
you know, I'm prepared.
Yes, you
and
are.
So
you are organized.
Is there one of the P's?
It's not, but it should be. I mean, like, we'll just add four P's. Like, that's where it is. I'm also a one. So I just we'll bring that into this circle and into this mix. But I love it. So as we're preparing, I think the three P's are, one, we examine the posture of our heart.
Amazing.
I think we intercede for the people that we are serving.
Yes.
And then I think we position ourselves to receive insight from God.
That's great.
So the first thing is we examine the posture of our heart. And as we examine the posture of our heart, it's saying, how are we coming to God? What does that look like for us? And you look at the Psalms and it says, enter His courts with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with praise.
Yes.
So I think we come with faith. I think we come with a grateful heart.
That's right.
I think we come with confidence. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 4 says, enter, His throne come to His throne with boldness and with confidence because of what Jesus has done, not because of, of anything have done, but we come with confidence because of what Jesus accomplished the cross. And think, if you finish that verse out, it says, because He will give us grace and mercy in our time of need. Mm-hmm. And so I think admitting need is humility. Yeah. So I think that's how we come to God, with faith, with gratitude,
absolutely,
with confidence and with humility.
Yeah.
And that's how we first come to God. And that's how, if I'm asking God for, what does the set list look like? What is all that? It's first, how do I do that? How am I approaching God? And then I think, we've talked about prayer and intercession already so much, but I think as a leader, we see that that's what we're called to as well. Joel, this is ESV. So this is going to be real fun. But it says Joel 2:17 says, between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord. And so it goes on and on, and you can look that up in the NIV and get other better words than vestibule and the altar, because that's real fun. But
I wonder what the message says.
Exactly. We'll look that up later. Exactly what it says. But that's, as a leader, we're called to weep for the people that we're leading, to intercede for them, to say, God, just to pray for salvation, to pray for restoration, for healing. And it's not just something that's given to the prayer team to do.
Yes,
as leaders on stage,
absolutely,
that's that's what we're doing. And it's not just before in preparation, it's during. Yep. It's while we're leading, we're listening to Holy Spirit saying, hey, break down these walls, open eyes to see, illuminate the gospel in the heart of these women, because that's the whole purpose of what we're doing.
That's it.
And I think very practically, you know, Pastor Louis leads us so well in this, is in that he says, asks us, who's sitting at your table?
Yes.
And if you've been around here a lot, you've heard that, but he says, like, imagine those women that are sitting there. Who are you leading? Is it a mom that is, you know, struggling to provide for her kids, or a family that just found out that their dad's been diagnosed with cancer, and that at the same time, there's a college student celebrating that they just got a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's all of these people, and it's interceding and asking and pleading on behalf of them. And that's part of the preparation.
Yes.
Like that's part of getting in the right space of where God is leading us.
That's great.
Then lastly, I think that as we prepare ourselves to lead, we position ourselves to receive insight from God, because we know that we can do nothing of eternal significance without knowing and without God revealing to us what he's doing. I mean, you see that in John 5. You see that's the example of Jesus. Like it says, what does it say? He says that that the Son did nothing without seeing the Father do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the way Jesus worked on earth, how much more dependent are we on God giving us insight into what he's doing?
Amazing.
And as he gives us insight, then we are able to act. And the hard part about that is actually positioning ourselves to do that. Like, what does that look like? We're so overstimulated, I think, in so many ways, and bombarded by social media and all of that. And so I think as a leader, it's important just to create the space. I mean, Jesus withdrew to pray and to ask and to seek. And so I think so much of our preparation is just about, like we said, gaining this audience with the King and asking him to come in and speak, give us insight, praying for the people, seeing the people, and then the fun part is then just going into the gathering and watching him just get to do it. I literally think I have the best seat in the house when I get to lead, because you just get to watch the Holy Spirit move. And you, even if it's not tangible, you just see it. You know he's working and moving in so many lives.
And when this has been your heart's posture and this has been your practice, it also gives the team around you so much confidence in who's leading the people, and to get to do it together, to be partners in this together, is so incredible when there is that confidence that the leadership is bringing that kind of faith and that kind of preparation and that heart posture. And I just keep remembering this one Grove. It was over a year ago, because I remember I was leading with you, Melody, and I was pregnant. So it would have, my baby's one now, so it would have been a little over a year ago. But you were the worship leader that night, and I was on stage with you with my pregnant belly and my guitar. And
I love it.
You were literally like coming undone. And I just wanted to leap, but I couldn't because I was pregnant. But it was that confidence and that excitement of just of getting to lead with someone who takes this seriously and who takes, who is listening and who is leaning in and interceding and knowing that this is so important to you. This is an overflow of your heart. It set me on fire, you know, getting to lead with you and partner with you that night and so many other times, but I just have this really cool picture of that specific night and just really just feeling the Spirit so alive and knowing that it was because of what had been done behind the scenes and in the secret place. And he was honoring that in those moments. So that was so beautiful. You mentioned our preparations leading us to pivot.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that a little bit, because I even recently, it's so beautiful, and it does give us confidence to know that, like, we can trust God with open hands.
Mm-hmm.
And recently we had to, you know, we're still in this era of this global pandemic, and we have all pivoted massively in the way that we're doing our gatherings and approaching them. But we were preparing for the Grove a couple months ago, and a few days, I was helping lead worship for this upcoming gathering, and a few days before, we lost our entire band.
The entire band.
COVID quarantine. And we had to pivot immediately.
Yeah.
And, but I remember distinctly, I would, I was talking to Kara and Shelley, you know, a lot through those days of what we're going to do, specifically what it's going to look like. I was talking to you, Melody, and anytime I would get off the phone with Shelley, like we were just, there was just so much peace.
Yeah.
We had totally made this amazing plan. So we thought, but there was so much peace in knowing that God had it.
Yeah.
Because that is something that truly Shelley has instilled in us from the very beginning, through every gathering, through every meeting, that this, we are looking to God, whatever he has for us. And so I want you to take us to a place where you have seen that happen, even if, you know, maybe it was a set list or, you know, how we prepare, how we bring, and we think we've got this great idea. Just talk about that. Talk about pivoting, and how we can do that as a result of our preparation.
Yeah. I think, you know, you bring up a good point. You know, we have this idea of what we think the set should look like, you know, and that kind of thing. And then we come and we like talk about it as a team. And the most important thing I've learned with that is to have open hands with that, because, there may be a different idea or something else that you didn't understand that was a part of the night, and the Lord really wanted to take it in a different direction. And it's just trusting that the Lord is speaking into all of those things. And so it's saying, hey, this is what I feel like this is what I feel like the Lord's told us to go, but you may be hearing something different. And so it's triangulating and feeling like this is like, this is where we should go. I think even like this, we've recorded some things throughout COVID and that kind of thing for the Grove. Everything hasn't always been completely live. I'll just go ahead and do that. Like spoiler alert. But even in that, like we've had to pivot and do film things early because you know, we just needed because of COVID or some things like that. We're trying to protect our people. So even this last Grove, we changed the band last minute, same thing with you.
Yes.
And so, but I love it because you even see that in the preparedness of our team, like the God has exactly the right people that he wants in the right time and the right place and all that kind of stuff. And so I think as we prepared, I'm just confident. I've just learned that God's going to come through. Like at the end of the day, like we do what we can, and then we leave the rest in God's hands because we know that his plans are perfect.
I love it.
Yeah. Can I just say that one of the things that blesses me so much about you girls and the ones that are leading worship is the level of unity and support that you have for each other.
Yeah.
That there, you might think from afar that there's some level of competition and who gets to do what and who's doing what on what night and what that is non-existent with you girls, and you are forever cheering each other on, supporting each other, and it creates such an environment for everyone else to have that type of unity in the gathering.
Amazing.
And the way that you are together creates an ability for the Spirit to move and for you to minister in a much more deeply impactful way.
Wow.
And it really just blesses me. And I think I want everyone to hear that.
It's really
that's
special.
Important too. That's something that you guys are working on and you're intentionally before the Lord in. And it just creates a different level that I think maybe sometimes people come to the Grove and they're like, what is it? What is it? I think it's things like that. I think it's the fact that we do all love each other.
That's true.
Yeah.
That we do all humble ourselves before God, and we are preferring the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that we're not competing to get to hold the mic or to say this or to do that. That we're really, like Carmen said, wanting Jesus to be glorified. That's the number one thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love
that's
it.
That's awesome.
I love that, and it is true. And there is such a level of mutual respect and admiration. And I want to just extend such a massive thank you to each of you in this room today for what you have sown into the Grove, for the prayers of faith, for the preparation that you've brought, and for what you continue to do to help build this amazing thing that we all get to be a part of. It is truly an incredible experience. And the blessing that you receive on the other side of this, to all of you listening, is a result of the prayers and the faith of these women. And so, Melody, there's really only one way to end a podcast on prayer in preparation.
Praying?
So would you please pray over the women who are tuning in today?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to. Jesus, we just start by thanking you today for who you are, for the gift of being able to come into your presence on a Tuesday afternoon or whenever we're listening to this, God, we thank you that you work outside of time and space. And so whenever people and women are listening to this, we just ask that you would work in their hearts, that that you would open eyes to see, that we would get it, that we would understand that your heart is for people, that you love us so deeply, and that our purpose on this earth, everything that we do is also that we might come to know you, so that we could have a relationship with you, so that we can spend eternity with you, Jesus. So I just pray that you, being rich in mercy because of the great love for which you have for us, that even when we are dead in our trespasses, you made us alive together with Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
For by grace we have been saved, and you raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. So that in the coming ages, we might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Yes. For by grace, we have been saved through faith. It is not of our own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we just pray your favor. We pray your blessing on every woman who is listening today, that we might rest in knowing that you have finished the work on the cross today, Jesus. Nice. We walk in that truth. We lean into you to find our confidence, our identity, Jesus. We know that it's only found in you. You are our source. You are our life today, Jesus. We love you. We bless you. Amen.
Amen.
What a gift these women are to our team. We hope this has been an encouragement to your spirit today and has you pressing into Jesus with an ever-growing faith. As always, please stay connected with us on Instagram at @PCC_TheGrove, as well as thegroveonline.com, and we will catch you next time on The Grove Podcast.